Turn your Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. It is a joy to be here.
Amen.
I appreciate every effort. This thing just doesn't happen. Calvary Baptist Church, the hero section over here. I appreciate all the effort, the meals,
yes,
the prayers for our family. And I thank the Lord that we have a reason to rejoice. Brother told us it was worth it.
Yes, sir.
The other brother told us he was worthy to worship.
Amen.
And I say hallelujah to both of that.
Amen.
I'm interested this morning in Philippians chapter 4, very easily quoted verse, very easily referenced verse. But if we really look at it, it's easier said than applied. It's easier said than done. But there is power for Christian living, and Paul gives us this in Philippians chapter 4. The Bible says, therefore, I have to take a break. Therefore tells us to look back at what he just said.
Amen.
And you say, where do you get your power from? We get our power for him. But the Bible says, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body,
amen,
according to the working whereby, interested in that phrase, he is able.
Amen.
He is able for whatever you need, he is able,
amen,
even to subdue all things unto himself. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Otis and beseech Cinche that they be of the same mind in the Lord.
Amen.
And I entreat thee also, true yoke fella, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other many fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. This is where I'm interested here this morning. Rejoice in the Lord always.
Amen.
And again I say,
amen,
rejoice. Father, I thank you for your sweet presence. Thank you for this place. I thank you for all the many blessings and benefits that go along with salvation. Father, I pray that you'd give us power, give us strength, clear our mind, give us guard our mind and our mouth. God, that we'd ever magnify and uplift your holy name. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for how you help. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We realize that the Philippians is the central and pivotal theme of this verse, and is chapter 4, verse 4. The central theme running throughout the book is joy.
Yeah.
There is joy in this walk of life, and there's joy in that walk of life. There is power for Christian living if we'll just tap in to this joy. Basically, I'm interested in what Paul has said. He had a passion in verse 1 for the church. Said he longed for them. It was his joy, his crown. He delighted in the church, and the church loved him, and he loved the church. He had a passion for it. But not only did he have a passion for it, he gave them the purpose.
Yes,
that is to stand fast in the Lord.
Amen.
To stand fast, we cannot afford to compromise on divine truth.
Amen.
That word stand fast is implying the idea of a soldier in a battlefield.
Yes,
on the front line. Standing on divine truth. We can't compromise and we cannot collapse under pressure this morning. You say, preacher, we can't do that. I know. That's why we have to tap into our power. The power for Christian living. But I'm interested in the position in the Lord. Where's the power in the church, preacher? Same place it always is. He changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He ain't never changed. The power's in him. It's in our position in the Lord. You know, you coach a ball team, and sometimes you just want to tell them young'uns, get a glove. Get in the game. You want power for your life this morning? Get a glove and get in the game. Find your position in the Lord. But mainly I'm interested this morning. I'm hurrying along. I've got 20 minutes. I love the brother's idea. You preach fast, you preach again. Leonard Ravenhill said this: we do not need a new definition for Christianity. Got everything we need right here. Gospel still works. It still is the power of God unto salvation. But what we do need this morning is a new demonstration of Christianity. And we can find that in the power of Christian living. Paul gives us duties no matter how difficult. I'll remind you this morning, this was not a suggestion. This was not a request. This was a command for you and I to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. So I'm interested in the praise from the church. I said all this just to tell you this. I'm interested and intrigued what Paul said, but really more interested in when he said it. He told the church to stand together. He told the church to think together. He told the church to work together. Now he's going to tell the church to worship together. We're in this thing together. All of hell and every demon has never had a problem with unity. They're all on the same page, and it's time that we get on together in the same page. Power for Christian living. Paul said to rejoice in the Lord always, right in the middle of the problem. He addressed these two ladies, said, we don't know what the problem was. We do know this, they didn't have the same mind in the Lord. You say, preacher, we're supposed to look like, act like, talk like? No, that's why I love this place. There's different preachers, different styles, but it's touched and refreshed and refueled and revived my heart as well as yours. This is more than just an action. This is an attitude. We get tanked up this morning. We get tanked up these 2 weeks and then go back to your congregation. Face hell. Face whatever God wants you to face. You can face it with power if you rejoice in the Lord. He said it right in the midst of the problem. This is permeated throughout Scripture. Jesus told us four times while he was still alive, be of good cheer. But every time he told us in the middle of a storm. He told us in the middle of sickness. He told us in the middle of trouble. He said, be of good cheer. There's power in Christian living if we'll rejoice in the Lord. It's permeated in the Old Testament. Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. There's our strength this morning. I'm interested here in our rejoicing. First of all, our rejoicing should be continuous. Yes, that word rejoice is in the present imperative verb, which is a command required to continue. It is habitual. Yeah. We're going to have to rejoice in adversity and prosperity. You say, preacher, you got that down? Nope. Still working on me. Still working on me. I think sometimes, you know, as a T-ball coach, I'll throw rule the ball and he won't get it just right. And I'll say, try that again. God will throw some adversity in my path and he'll say, you didn't do that just right. Try that again. I want to tell you this morning, there's power in prosperity. There's power in adversity if we'll rejoice in the Lord. Rejoicing in the Lord. It ought to be continual. Paul reeked of this rejoicing, shipwrecked, beaten. By the way, I'll remind you in this epistle, he's strapped to a Roman guard in a Roman prison. You say, well, I feel sorry for Paul. I don't. I feel sorry for the prisoner. They're either going to get saved or be sick one. They're going to get tired of hearing. And just like he said, hey, some of you don't even know that you've had Jesus for 30 years. You couldn't even tell it. Rejoicing in the Lord, no matter your circumstance or situation. It ought to be continual. I think about that man. You've probably heard him testify more than I have, but I recalled and tried to think every time that I heard him testify. I have no sad report. That's rejoicing in the Lord always. Diagnosed with cancer, I'm a winner either way. That's rejoicing in the Lord always. Heard him preach this week. He said, I'm glad to be in the journey. Rejoice. Listen, I'm not here to belittle your problems. If you're doing anything for God, I'll rest assured you got problems. We've all got problems. We are people. We deal with people. You have problems. We all have problems this morning, but we can rejoice in the Lord, and it should be continual. Not only that, this is where I wanted to get. Our rejoicing can be confident. The Bible tells us to rejoice in the Lord. Joy is the quiet, confident assurance of God's love and work in our lives. That He'll be there every time. He is always faithful. Joy is a confident assurance that God is exactly who He said He is. We can have confidence. Say, preacher, I can't rejoice in my life. Well, good. God didn't tell you to. He said, rejoice in your Lord. Preacher, I can't rejoice in my feelings. I just don't feel like it. Good. God didn't tell you to rejoice in your feelings. He said, rejoice in your Father. Rejoice in the Lord. He is eat up with this phrase. He mentions this phrase in the Lord 3 times out of 4 verses. Says it in verse 10. Says it in chapter 3, verse 1. Paul reeks of rejoicing in the Lord. He could face prison. He can face anything through life with being in the Lord. And you can too. Our rejoicing ought to be continual. Hallelujah, it can be confident. I have confidence that the Bible says my Lord's a rock. He's a refuge. He's a very present help in time of trouble. My Bible tells me that He has grace that's sufficient, has mercy that's fresh and new every morning. Plan on picking my batch up as soon as I get up if the Lord sees fit. He's got mercy that's everlasting, love that's unconditional. Who can't rejoice in a God like that? Amen. The question this morning really isn't how and why and how is it possible for me to rejoice always. The question is, why wouldn't we rejoice in a Lord like that? It is continual. There is confidence in that rejoicing. Not because of who I am, simply because of who He is. He don't love me because I'm a third generation preacher. He loves me because that's who He is. He loves me because that's who He is. It ain't got a thing to do with me, and it's got everything to do with Him. Paul was able to sustain throughout no matter because he always pointed people to Him instead of looking within. What do you think this camp meeting does? It fires us up so we'll look at Him instead of looking at within. There's confidence in the Lord. There's confidence in our rejoicing. And lastly, and I'm through, it ought to be contagious. Paul wanted this church and wants us to recognize and realize their appreciation in their position, their appreciation in their connection with Jesus Christ. This attitude, this action. Will invoke, as they have so willfully said, an action. This attitude can. You say, preacher, we just can't worship. I'll use Steve's illustration. This attitude does not say we cannot cry. This attitude does not say we cannot be sad. This attitude tells us that we can still rejoice. If I hit my thumb with a hammer, I'm probably not going to say glory to God. But I can say thank you, Lord, for not letting me hit my other four. That's what Paul is saying in this text. That's what he's telling us. We can rejoice in the Lord. It ought to be contagious. I'll tell you one story and then I'm done. Paul was contagious. To start this epistle, he's in the Philippian jail. Been beat to death, put to stocks. They didn't like the gospel message he was preaching. All of a sudden, about the midnight hour, Paul and Silas begin to sing praises unto God. They begin to rejoice no matter their situation or circumstance. And the earthquake came, knocked the shackles off the stocks and the shackles off the gate. And it was so contagious, the jailer said, "What must I do to be saved?" We don't need a new definition of Christianity. We're going to have a new demonstration. Amen. And there's power in Christian living. I'm through, brother.